believe he's the one that's leading us this morning. Lord, wonder, Lord Jesus Christ. We'll follow. Lead me, Lord. I will. Lord, you call me.
Lead me, Lord. If you really mean that, why don't you lift your hands and sing it again? Lead me, Lord. This great leader of eternal life. Lead me, Lord. We are determined because we know the one that is leading us. He promised, Lord, I am with you always. I will be with you and in you even until the end of the age. To have this great, never failing presence with us.
Call me and I will answer. Everyone, all in the rooms and this side and the outside, one voice in one heart this morning, knowing that we cannot go on our own.
In our hearts, come with me, live or die, sink or swim, friend or no friend, no matter what is before us, what is coming behind us, that we are determined that we will go, because he has called us. There is something in our hearts, like Elisha told Elijah, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. He had a call upon his life. He felt the power and the blessing when that mantle was waved over him. Something struck him on the inside. He knew that this was God's will for his life. Let's just bow our hearts, knowing we are walking in the steps of that same faith this morning. Like our father Abraham, when he was called to go out, the Bible said he obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he was going. But the God of glory had appeared unto him in Mesopotamia. And God called him to a separation. Get thee out of that country. I'll bring you to a land which I will show thee. Sometimes we have to walk by faith, not even knowing where we are going. But how thankful we are. That same one passed by the shores of Galilee, said, leave your nets and follow me. This Lord, we have forsaken all to follow you. That's the influence he has upon the lives of his redeemed, his elected, his chosen. That's the influence. There's something inside of them. They must follow that word. Our gracious Father, we stand in your great august presence today. Lord, we are thankful to know we have this blessed privilege to come to your precious blood, a new and living way that you have made for us. knowing that something deep within our hearts reaches out, Lord. There's a longing, there's a craving, a travail of soul, Lord, to be closer drawn to you in this hour. And to know that when we can come and assemble ourselves like this, then sense your great presence among us. We are so thankful, Lord, it encourages our hearts to know, dear God, that the faith that we have placed upon your divine promise and acting upon it, then to feel the sweetness of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that you are interested, that your promises are yea and amen. And if you are here, Father, God, you are here with a great purpose in mind. You are gathering your elected children. You have sent forth a message for preparation. You are showing us how to prepare for this great translation fate, knowing like when Enoch, how he walked with you. A secret was unfolded to him, Lord. And with each passing day, that walk became so close. There was such a oneness in that fellowship. There was such an intimacy in that relationship. There was such a clarity in the unfolding of this great revelation. Lord God, the Bible said, and he was not. Something happened. Oh God, to know that you laid out these secrets of redemption in the Bible for people, the seventh from the second Adam. Lord, in this great rapture age, here you are, Lord, bringing these great divine promises to pass. We thank you, Lord, when we examine these things in the light of the revelation of your word, we see that we are a chosen and called people. We see that we are considered in the plan of redemption. Truly, O God, your great elective love, Lord, it influences us to come without reservation, to come in full surrender, to come, dear God, knowing that such a privilege has been extended unto us, how we want to capitalize upon it, embrace it, O God. And Lord, put the true value it deserves upon it. And Lord God, everything else will take second place. And you truly can be Lord and ruler of our lives, Father. Have your blessed way in our midst today. As you would look, Lord, across this audience, surely you are mindful of everyone that you have drawn by your Holy Spirit to be here. And you always have a reason and purpose for what you do and when you do it and in the manner in which you do it. The Lord God, we who are learning and coming better acquainted with your ways and your divine working behind the lives of your elected children, even Lord God, by a comparison of all the examples in the scriptures which you have given for our learning and for our edification, Lord, we realize, Father, that Lord God, as we would open our hearts and humble ourselves in your great mighty presence, you can do more for us in 5 minutes than you have done, Lord, through so many years of us struggling and trying in human effort and trying, oh God, to take things into our hands. And so this morning we come, Lord, having faith in your great wisdom, in that you know how to work all things together for good. And Lord, regardless of how it may seem, when we can recognize your presence, when we can have confidence in your leadership, when we can let go and let you have your own way, Lord, surely we can see good success. Surely we can see you prospering always, dear God. When we are willing to trust you and separate, regardless, oh God, from everything, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, no matter what it may cost us, Lord, lay aside every weight and every sin, to cast down all reasons and all imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of your word. Lord, most of all, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience, that our obedience might be fulfilled. Lead us, O God, into this great faith, Father, that is the victory that overcometh this world. That faith by which they obtained promises, had great victories, did great exploits, even, Lord God, in times of great suffering and hardship and trial, of the weakness was made strong. That faith, dear God, that was obtained a good report. That faith that caused them to be changed in their bodies, to be translated into another dimension. That same faith, dear God, you are revealing within our hearts. Comes by hearing and hearing by your word, Lord. You said we shall know as we were known. As we hear it, may every bit of amnesia, everything that paralyzes our faith, everything that causes, oh God, doubt, to have a grip still upon our lives, let us hear it in the way that you are communicating it. Let us enter into it, Lord. Let the light of this knowledge of the glory of God shine deep into our hearts. May it bring us to see the unveiled face of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it cause, oh God, this inspiration to so fill our souls that after we hear it and recognize the truth, we'll not just talk about it and try to explain it and, Lord, garnish ourselves with it, Lord, but we'd go to acting upon it, Father, knowing that works is faith express, works is faith testimony, that faith has taken a hold. And true faith and works, Lord, we can create the very promises. We can see that which you believe that we have received. When we stand praying, we can see it come from the invisible realm to the visible until it's made manifest, oh God, to produce the very object of that which our faith had taken a hold of, dear God. That which our prayer was focused to. So let it be in every heart today that truly, O God, our gathering here would have great meaning and value. And when we leave this place, the things, O God, that we see needful, the things, O God, that your word have been showing to us, this great glory, this which have been revealed to us, God, we can hold it until we are changed into the very image of it. That which, dear God, you have been reflecting into our hearts, shining, Lord. Lord, we can become the very manifestation of these things. We ask these things today. We ask it, oh God, not for ourselves, but we ask it with consideration for even the invisible part of this church, that which is scattered throughout the islands. God, knowing they are gathered there also at this time, this morning, in their prayers, coming up before you as they make known the needs that they would have, that you, the all-sufficient God, and that you'd be specially mindful of them, that gather, O God, to listen to your word coming through the medium of the tape, to the monitor, O God. Dear God, that you will help strengthen them and establish their faith. How we desire you to raise up those that you can use as instruments to minister your word. To stand there, dear God, and to preach the word in their midst. But until then, dear God, while they have this substitute, the Spirit of the living God, Lord, we take that word and apply it. Knowing always that we stand here to speak it, Lord, we are desiring that you would feed the flock. That which we don't see with our physical eyes, but that which we know is there, hanging on to every word. Knowing that we have just come back from the midst of some of them, Lord, we see the needs in St. Lucia. We see the needs in Dominica, Lord. God, we ask that you will minister to them, Father, individually and collectively. You will continue your work to advance and to prosper in every way. And all that is elected, you'll bring them, Father. And out in Grenada, in the rebuilding time of the nation, and knowing the attack of the enemy, Lord, coming among the saints, the hearing of the accidents, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will encourage them. Their heart will not faint. They will stand, O God, knowing that it is your prerogative to commit us to be tested and to be tried. Lord, it is our duty to stand and display the faith, Father, knowing that you are true to your promise. Make them to be courageous and strong, we ask. Out in St. Vincent, may you bless our brothers and sisters. And Lord, in the outreach work that they are doing, the Holy Spirit will continue to draw every elected one, Father. You'll continue to bless your servants there, Lord, and open up your word that the flock can be fed and they can become so established and rooted and grounded, growing and maturing in your presence. Grant it, Lord. Remember those in St. Kitts and Nevis. Remember those out in Kairaku, Father. Just a handful of them. But yet, Lord, out in their faithfulness, they gather from week to week. We pray that you'll be mindful of them, Lord. Now, Father, may you lead and direct us in all as we said and done. You know everyone that is gathered here. And you know every need. We report for duty and service. May you get honor and glory today. May the Holy Spirit move in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel. You prove yourself alive in their midst. By infallible proofs, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Giving you thanks and praise and honor and glory. Amen. God, we should bless you. Certainly happy to be in his house and to stand before you once again in the precious, lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, Brother Brian. We're glad to see him using up those few days to come in and show that you willing to come and stand at your post of duty if you have to file it from Chicago. Amen. That sure encourages those from Cedrus and Maruga and out in the different places, Sandy Grande and Carinage, wherever they come from. But when you're willing to fly in from Chicago to be here, that is real fine. We certainly thank God for that. I'd like to invite your attention this morning to Genesis chapter 50. still speaking on Joseph. I hope you, the prophet is preaching about Job, and he had him so long in the ash heap, and he's speaking about Abraham, and woman had a complaint that he have him so long to get up to Mount Moriah. I hope that since the convention I've been preaching on Joseph here, in and out a little bit, and it's always kind of hard when you come back in to try to tune back in. You go preaching on a different level outside, and you come back here to try to focus on things that you believe is appropriate and more pastoral messages at this time. And we certainly desire to be built up and remolded, to be matured, to be a virtuous, spirit-filled Christian. So I'd like to read from Genesis 50, verse 15. Reads on this wise. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. They tried to use the father in such a way, and the influence of the father, and the respect he had for the father, and the father authority over the family, that he would forgive them the trespass. He would forgive them the sin. And he had forgiven them with such a depth of forgiveness. But you see, the ones who had been forgiven did not fully enter deeply to find peace and rest, which that forgiveness was supposed to bring to them, because forgiveness is not a thing easily understood. Many people do not know how to forgive, and many people do not know how to receive forgiveness. You know, sometimes a person says, I forgive you. And next thing they go telling somebody about what the person did and why they forgive them, and a lot of different things, and really and truly, if they had already forgiven the person, those things would be blotted out in the book of remembrance. Not that they would ever, never forget, remember it, but they would never let it come back out in a way to bring back the very spirit of that thing, knowing that they had loosed the person, and the forgiveness was designed and intended that they would have see the person the same way like it was before the crime was committed against them, or the injury that was done to them. You know, two people can be great friends and have a good time, and then something happened, and then they forgive the person, and then they still have a mistrust, but they haven't really forgiven the person. They mention the word forgiveness, and they try mentally, but they don't know what it is. And they don't know really the spirit of forgiveness. But they use the word forgiveness. Like people use the word sincere. And then you realize, no, there's depth of sincerity. There's a real spirit of sincerity. And sometimes, you know, theology can make you learn things and say things and do things religiously. But really, it has no value to God. And it really don't produce much. Because to do that must be revealed. Like faith. Many people say, oh, I believe. Probably they come to the platform, they don't even have faith. They even get to the platform. Yet they think in their faith, but really they have a mental faith. And that's from the mind by learning. But not just faith. Many things. Forgiveness, humility, all these things. It cannot just be something mental from the mind. It must be something revealed, and then it's the Spirit of Christ. Until that is revealed, that is being done in human energy. And because this is what religion is. This is why a man become a Muslim and he tried to go through certain moral codes and ethics. A man become a Hindu, he tried to do certain things. And they tried to be nice and kind and until they get provoked to a place that they blow up and react. And that's really not what the Bible is talking about. He's talking about the token. Jesus died, not to give us a mental concept. Jesus died to come back and live in us. What is the Holy Ghost? It's God coming back in you now to begin to live in you the very same lives he was living in the corporal body. I am the vine, you are the branches. So I want you to grasp that. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. Because they were doing all this because of fear that they take revenge on them. You see, fear is not designed to bring humility. You're not designed to live this life by fear. You're not designed to live this life by fear for punishment. That fellowship, that is not fellowship. If God had to fellowship, you and God have to be in the same spirit to have fellowship. And if God had to fellowship with you, he can only fellowship with you on the Lord Jesus Christ. God don't fellowship with nothing outside of Christ. Because Christ has made all things to us. And God who designed man in relation to who he is and what he is. So everything that man have need of is in Christ. And everything that Christ does is not for himself, it's for man. Amen? These are principles you can't lose sight of. And you must see it if your Christianity is to come more than church. If you have to come into a place where you live and work in union with him, you have to come up there. You must come there. You must come by revelation. But what is the new birth? The revelation of Jesus Christ. God separated you from your mother's womb to reveal his son in you. Amen. That you become the light. What is light? The word made manifest. And Joseph said, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. He said, fear not, I will nourish you. The places where they had fear of, it was in time of famine. It was sure death. He was the refuge. He was the strength. He was the present help in time of trouble. And he said, I will nourish you. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Luke 17. I want to speak on Joseph's love, faith, and forgiveness. Love, faith, and forgiveness. If there's love, there'll be forgiveness. If there's love, there'll be faith. Because faith works by love. And faith is based on forgiveness. And you can't try to claim one and don't have the other. Out of this love comes forgiveness. Out of this forgiveness comes faith. In Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him to whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass thee, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. They asked Joseph, forgive us our trespass. See? Forgive us the evil we've done. Forgive us the offenses that we brought upon. And if we trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. When they hear this, they say, increase our faith. Because they didn't have that kind of forgiveness. They didn't have that kind of love. And so they couldn't have that kind of faith. You get what I'm saying? Because when he opened it to them, it condemned them. And they saw the need, not just to follow him and say, Elijah, come and the Son of Man, reveal and win the message, but to have what he was displaying to them. Because that is why he came, to make his life available to them. He was the Word. He was the revealed Word. He was the message of the hour. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So from forgiveness to faith that it speak, if you say to this mountain, if you say to this sycamine tree, whatever you say, may the Lord bless you in his word, you may have your seat. I'd like to read on further in Ephesians chapter 4. This great book of Ephesians, parallel Joshua. Joshua is the book of placing. Exodus is the book of going out. There was going out to be placed. And they come through Leviticus. They had to be set in order and know how to approach God through sacrifice and how to maintain the relationship and fellowship with God. And then Numbers, they had to be tested and proven worthy for the promise. And then Deuteronomy, they had to be able to look back and see all the mistakes and see the faults and see the errors and see the chastisement, how God as a father chastened them, because every son that is called must be chastened and tried and proven before they could be placed. And then in Joshua, they come and was placed. And so Ephesians parallel Joshua. And that's the placing of the church in position, like it is today. We have come back to another Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 30, Paul writing to the Ephesian church, and he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, and that is not just saying things, that's a progression. That's a progression he's dealing with, because out of bitterness comes wrath, and out of wrath comes anger, and out of anger comes clamor and evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice, all the evil, the very root of the thing. And be you kind, and kind is in contrast to bitterness, one to another, tender-hearted in contrast to wrath, and forgiving in contrast to anger and clamor and evil speaking, one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And here Paul is teaching the Ephesians here also on forgiveness. Now, it's been a great thing while we've been on this subject of Joseph, and we started that there with the convention, a chosen vessel to bear his name, and a vessel of honor set aside for the master's use, sanctified, prepared unto every good work, and knowing that God in this hour is bringing his church into condition where he can fulfill His word in the church. And I express that way with a purpose and an intent that He can fulfill His word. Sometimes we want God to do a lot of things. And sometimes in prayer we ask God for all kinds of things. And sometimes we cover the whole spectrum when we pray. But really and truly, when you know the will of God, you know what you have need of, and so you know what to ask. And you get grace to help you in time of need. Because you don't pray amiss, you pray according to your need. And you recognize your need, and because we have the word, the Holy Spirit, give us understanding to the word of where we are and what we have need of. And so, when God does something, He don't do it for show, but He does it to fulfill His word. He promises these things, but not always we are in need of the things He promised at a certain time. But He promises because you know in the course of your journey, these needs will come up. And when these needs come up, in other words, in the wilderness, they can't fight for no inheritance. They journey into inheritance, and when they get there, they're going to fight for it and become placed. But in the wilderness, God really is trying to get Egypt out of them. So it's no sense they ask God, Lord, show me the strategy to fight the enemy and take possession, and you know. They'll ask God, Lord, help me to submit. Help me to retaliate. Help me, Lord, to accept what you see in me. And help me to cooperate with your word. And so you find then that you can work with God and not against Him. Because you know that everything that He does to us and for us is not very grievous in the sense that it's not necessarily just trying to injure us. But everything that God does for us, it is tender hand leading us, teaching us. Because He knows the beginning from the end, and He knows all about you, and we are now just going through self-discovery. We don't know what we're going to face tomorrow, or we don't know what is going to happen next week. And we don't know what all His will is going to be, you know, considering our individual experiences, or individual trials, or individual testings in life, hardship, sickness, suffering, you know, whatever we go through in this life. He knows when to bring it, how to bring it, the measure to bring it, according to what He sees necessary. Because He's not just bringing things to say you have to go through trials, so I throw trials in you. Trials is always in degrees, with certain measure, to accomplish a specific purpose. It's either your temper God trying to teach you with. It's either your faith God trying to help you with. It's either your humility God trying to help you with. In other words, when you're going through things, you don't just say, as a Job. No. Job test was to show Satan you don't have a next man like him on the earth. You know what I'm saying? The children of Israel, the father delivered them who was born in bondage. Now he had to get Egypt out of them. Now he's getting them in order, getting the mind in order for holiness. Now he's taking out the old heart, the stony heart. Now he's giving them a new spirit. Then he's going to come and put His spirit in them. So it's a work He's doing in your life. He's the author and He's the finisher of your faith. We are His workmanship, created of the good works in Christ Jesus. So that's why to the believer who is not looking close, trying to understand God's objective, and God's reason and purpose for your life, you just kind of sometimes, you know, just pull a lot of things. And when you pull a lot of things, you misapply a lot of things. And after 2-3 days, you take that one trial, and you're not sure whether it's chastisement or trial, and you go through a million different scriptures with it, trying to apply each one to the situation. And when you're done, you turn and blame God for not showing you nothing. When you can await there, yield to God, submit to God, ask God to teach you, and He will help you. Because this thing is not about you trying to get saved. This thing, God chose you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The elect according to His foreknowledge, Peter says. That those He foreknew, He may predestinate, those He predestinate may call, and all things work together for good to them who are de-called according to His purpose. So He has a purpose. He has a reason. And sometimes, it's very necessary to fellowship with God in these things. And we have been trying to take this series on Joseph and preach to you because in beginning of this, I said, God revealed himself to you as a potter, a divine dresser. It's a people who's trying to be made more fruitful. It's a people that he wants to be glorified in. It's a people that he's bringing into a condition, into a shape, a vessel that had been marred in many ways. And he had to identify to us the places. And he brought us to experiences to show to us, you can't save me that. I have to take you through this. This year is hindering me in your life. And he had to identify places. So this has come down very personal. This has come down to inventory, self-examination, and honesty. If God is saying you talk too much, you have to accept God should not be talking too much. And you have to say, Lord, you help me not talking too much. And you have to find out now the secret of how a man does take a big ship and with a little steering, turn that big ship in the ocean, and how you take a little yoke, a little bit, and put it in a horse mouth and a yoke on an ox neck and bring that big nature subject and under his control. Well, in the same way, you say, Lord, I realize that you ought to put your yoke and your word on me too. Because until you get my nature in submission to your will, because the reason the ox need a yoke is because the ox nature and the man nature is different. But the man need to work through the ox. The ox has power and strength. And that is the gift the ox is gifted with. And the man has to try to plow the field himself. He can die trying to plow that big field. But he can work through the ability of the ox to get the job done. But he must bring the ox, he must yoke that ox and bring it subject to him so he can control that ox. He even put blindness on him if he need to, so he don't look to the right or to the left. And he keep him focused there. And he is really, that's what God is doing with us. God put gifts in our lives. Our first birth bring that gift. But that's gifts, that is not virtues. You're born with virtues, you're born with gifts. You're born with character, you're born with gifts. But through God's dealing with you, he develops character in you. Because character is not a gift. Character is a victory. God has to develop and mold character in you. And because God has to mold character in you, that's what fits you to rule, not gifts. He said, don't rejoice if devils are subject to you, rejoice in him is written in heaven. Because you can have gifts doing things and you have no character, you have no virtues. He says, not the gifts, it's the life of the gifts. Well, Joseph, when we look at Joseph's life, the gifts people can see the dreamer. And the gifts people can see the interpreter of dreams. And the gifts people can see the wisdom and the administration. And they like Joseph. And they speak of him highly as the gifts. But really, that wasn't his power so much. When you see him, you see how a man could be treated in that manner, conspired against, ridiculed, humiliated, evil spoken of, violence upon him, put him in a pit, sell him into slavery, kidnapping and making merchandise of him. And that brother's in his father's house. And then, after falsely accused, trying to stand for the word, trying to have godly principles in his life, and then in prison, without trial on these things, charged and then banished to be forgotten. And yet, you see, all these things, it never made him reluctant to forgive. It never made him hold people with malice. It never made him plan and plot revenge. It never made him bitter in spirit. It never made him watching people cock eye and long face and carrying on and a bad attitude and walk away and ball on the place. And to me, that is beyond gifts. That's what I'm about to say. And if you prophesy, again, a 14-year prophecy about the famine and the plenty. But prophecy will fail. But love never fails. Charity never fails. It's not easily provoked. Doesn't be himself. Even when he had power and he had them in his hand. And in all fairness of justice, he can exact compensation.
Yet he wasn't thinking of being compensated by them. He was thinking of nourishing them, comforting them, speaking kindly to them, strengthening them is what was flowing inside of him. And I don't think he had a library of books on love and how to behave yourself, that he was studying this. So when this situation comes now, you can't remember, oh yeah, in the love book, you know, page 45, paragraph 222, it says I'm supposed to behave this way. No, I think it was just flowing out of him. Where am I? What's going on here? Can somebody say amen? You know, it's strange. We pray for God send the power. Lord, we want the power. Lord, when is the power come? I pray they tell me. Is the power divine love? Is that the power? Is that the Holy Ghost? Is that what is behaving before we go into rapture? Does this scare a believer? Who? I've been preaching all this message and calling you Joseph, 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 Joseph. And these Joseph not afraid of this. It's strange. There are a lot of you ain't living where you ought to be living if you're afraid of this. A lot of you ain't walking where you'll be walking if you're afraid of this. I mean, a lot of you been hearing this word, but still boxing in the things, trying to battle that word and tell you you're a breaker that can walk with and humble yourself. How did Joseph become a fruitful bow? How did the branch become a fruitful bear? Purge? How did another purge it? Some people have a remedy to get more food without purging. You see? Love and faith. I'm pretty simple. I got to be love and faith and forgiveness. This isn't Pelican prayer. This is the book of Daniel and Revelation. This isn't some trumpet speech when I tell you the sixth seal. This is the love of your brother. You have to love your sister. And it shake a church. It shake a church. The church is shook this morning. Strange. Forgiveness? How many of you children of the Lord pray? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Because if we don't forgive us, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. My goodness. Every little woman, Catholic boy and girl know that. And yet we look at a picture of that forgiveness that is being manifested in the elected, call out spiritual church in the last days that come to perfection. The ripening sheaf in the harvest time. Joseph, what ends the book of Genesis? But Genesis is the whole Bible in seed form. Think of it, friend. This is great. Paul said, be kind one to another. Now look, let's just dig down this a little bit. I'm not here to hurt, I'm here to cultivate. Maybe some of the vines are going to get nailed down in certain places. Maybe they're going to get tired, I want to run wild this way, run wild that way. Hold in the presence of the sun, say the fruit to be ripened. That's right. But the thing is, I'm looking for fruitfulness. I'm preaching myself first. Because I don't want to make believe going to bride. She is the matching piece. Her life and the scripture must dovetail to prove she's bride. You get that? Bride is not intellectual assembly. Bride is not in Barbara message. Bride don't mean that, friend. Right is that plus. That the minor part. You have to be in the message, sure. And you have to be in a church like this, sure. But that is not no evidence, eh? That will like speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost. See, I do that. That don't mean that, friend. When these lies start to be identified, man planted by the river, he brings forth his fruit in what? Is this the season? Is this harvest time? Is this fruit time or leaf time? That's right. Get down real. Get down where the real thing is. Get down real in the word, friends. Look at yourself. This kind of message is to look at yourself. This is not to hear. This is to recognize. This is to come to an awakening. This is to examine close. This is to see where I am walking. This is to start to identify to me my Agag, my Amalekites, the thing in my life, my living. These things, the thing that's strangling me. This is to make me stop praying the same prayer over and over and over and over and ain't seeing no results. Because God is saying, empty wagon rattling, start to line up, start to act what you know is right. Don't just talk to me. Try to do, amen. Because I'm talking back to you through the word. I'm showing you, I'm showing the place. And then you start to walk in the word, you watch and see. I want to drop down a little bit to Matthew 18. Get it out of the way quickly. Then maybe I could preach a little bit from there. Going back to something Jesus was teaching here. Matthew 18, verse 21. This continues on like from Luke, what I just read here. Luke 17. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? You remember Jesus teaching that just in Luke 17? And Jesus said to them, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of God likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. What is likened unto this? The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is likened to this. Where are we striving to go? Into that kingdom. But watch something. Watch how God, in that kingdom, which is the church, look how he deals with his people. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, and that word reckon means to settle accounts with persons, there's a time when the day of reckoning comes. You understand that? And the day of reckoning is the time when something must be atoned for or avenged. It must be settled. People come and say, settle up this account right now. And the bailer is coming at you. But the bank called it, settle up this right now. It's gone for too long, unsettled. Well, Jesus now wants to open a mystery to his church. A certain king which would take account of his servants. He takes account of every one of us. You know that? If you're in that kingdom, he takes account of you. And then he has a time when he begins to make people settle their accounts. God had called that time with the famine. When the famine struck the house, God said, for 22 years, you will carry this thing here. Stand for his conscience, but the hour has come to settle this account. You get what I'm saying? They didn't know the famine, what started as a need in the home, that was going to get more severe and bring the home into a place of destitution. And make they begin to see how vulnerable they were. And they begin to look for security. That was God using that situation to bring them to Joseph. Because in the famine, everybody who wants to live through that famine, you have to come to Joseph. Now let's look at God, friends. This is God at work. God let it go for 22 years. But God say, now, what the lie you told, the lie you live in, the lie you suppress, the dark place in your life, you bury them things, that have to come out and get in the blood of Jesus Christ if you have to go on through them. You get what I'm saying? God brings everybody to that. All these things were given for examples. All scripture given by inspiration is probably for what? Doctrine. It's a teaching. Christ is revealed in his own word. We see how God deals with his children. Because these men were called, were ordained of God to hold great places in God's economy and to be used of God in the earth. They was to bring a nation that would be the nation in the earth. The head of all the nations. Had God called a people out to be his bride. To show his redemption. To show his victory. Are we called for that? Sure. And God knows what we have inside of us. God knows every vessel that is marred. God knows every crack in every life. God knows every weak place in every person. He let the devil have a place to try you and test you for a season. But then the time comes, you have to remove all defects. But the bride going to rapture with defects. In a church not spot without wrinkle. So God has to bring it, friends. Satan will have to be powerless before his bride. Is that right? You will have to have no place where you can work in no life. Now what's something? So God had begun to reckon. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him. You see how you're applying that over here? That's Joseph. Joseph is Christ, friends. Joseph is Christ. Joseph was the savior of his brethren. But before he could save them, they had to come into repentance. Did they get saved without repentance? Did they get saved without the hidden sin coming up? You see, doctrine, friends. This is Bible. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. A talent, back in those days, the money was dinari, they call it. The English word was pence. But 1,000, there was 6,000 dinari was one talent. This is 10,000 talents, this is 60 million dinari. 60 million. This man of him. Do you know the price of a slave in the Old Testament? Price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 20 pieces. Jesus was sold for almost 20 pieces. But watch. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So this man, to show you how he would not, he, his wife, and all his children, plus all his share, his house, but he didn't care. a donkey, a sheep, a cow, a furniture, everything will be sold to free him. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Jesus is teaching forgiveness. He is teaching of God's plan, how man is to be released from a debt that man owed and man couldn't pay. But here a man saying, you be patient with me, I go pay all. If man could have paid their own debt, friends, there was nobody on earth, in heaven, under the earth, was worthy to even look at the book. Moses couldn't pay, Jeremiah couldn't pay, Elijah couldn't pay, Abraham couldn't pay, David and Solomon, all of them put together still couldn't pay. God himself had to pay. Because nothing, no man joked to be a clean out of unclean. But watch something here. This man being a legalist, trusting in self-will, feel like I live a good life. I will stop drinking. I will stop smoking. I will stop doing this. I will pray 3 times a day. I'm going to read, you know, 3 books a week. I'm going to fast. You know, I'm going to do this. That can't bring nobody salvation. That cannot bring deliverance from sin, friend. He's worshiping it. I said, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Look at God winking at man's ignorance. Look at God winking at man's foolishness and trusting in ability that is so depraved that he's born in sin, ship, iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. There's nothing good with him. His heart is a big old stony heart. But any time they vow that he has no ability to keep. And yet he said, I'll pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. In other words, the word means that we completely cancel. God completely cancel it. He unbind the man. He release him. He loose him. To unbind, to release the man from the obligation. Completely cancel it. He make the man stand before him as he never owed a single cent. A man who debt was so great, he couldn't pay it. His Lord dealt with him in a way that he could stand before his Lord as though he never owed not one denarii. Yet the man had owed 10 million. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. One six hundred thousand are what he owed. You get that? Yeah. 1,600,000 are what he owed. A man had that. He also was a creditor. So he find his debtor. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. What was that designed to do? Make this fella remember that what you say. That is to jolt his memory. That is to awaken his conscience. Now I'm saying that for a point. Because I want you to see how Joseph dealt with his brothers. And I'll show you, he talked to them rough, he accused them, he shut up one in a prison. That is exactly what it did him. And what they did him, he was reenacting the scene. Because the experiences was designed to awaken the conscience to see themselves the way God was seeing them. So that the right kind of repentance could come out of their lives. But sometimes when the conscience and the hearts of men are so scarred, and God over and over is letting things happen in their life, they can't stop to see. He's trying to tell me something about myself. Yes, Things you do people. Things you do God. You know what things we do God, friends? But I just sit down and see it daily. Sometimes things that come back up. I have my own children and I'm watching them. I say, God, that's how I was with you. God, you have me pass back there to see how you felt. You have me pass back there to see how you dealt with me. You get what I'm saying? The man said the same thing. And this chap, I remember I was in the same situation. As I forgive one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As I have loved you, so love one another. Now watch. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. That his Lord, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant. You hear what the Lord called this man? A person who can't forgive is very wicked. Now this ain't me trying to put on a thing on you, you know. I'm reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I myself have a shudder under the same word. No man likes to see himself judging him. No man likes to see himself put under the microscope. But you see me, I love the promise more than I love myself. More than the image. And brother, whatever it takes to draw closer to thee, that's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to trade sunshine for rain and comfort for pain. See? Take my dreams, take my plans, take everything. If it have to be. Brother, now that our understanding is opening, and we get a glimpse through the eyes of a prophet beyond the curtain of time and into the future home and all these things, and begin to understand the original sin and the plan of God, and to even to see the mystery of the life of Christ in human beings, that it will change the nature. It will do the same thing and even greater in sinful man, redeemed, amen, than it did in the virgin born body, which he did in this day. He did greater things in a sinful born man, redeemed man, than he did in the virgin born body. What is God doing? He's exalting the value of the work he did. He's exalting the value of the work he did on the cross. You get me? If you really have a revelation of Calvary, and you really understand what God showed you and what you're going to make available to us, you will not make excuses. You will not try to fabricate things and make excuses to evade things. Because you'll be looking at every situation and realizing, no matter how big it seems, no matter how much I can do, truly I can do it. But I see that the life of Jesus Christ in me can do that. And that's why he has called me. That's why I come to church. That's why I hold on to this word. That's why I believe a prophet. Because he sent a prophet to show these things. That's why I'm not an organization. That's why I stand for this word. Because this word tells me that he come back to restore. This message comes to restore all things. To put me back where I was in the Garden of Eden before the fall. That's why a prophet came. And that's why he demonstrated it to the prophet to show it's not a false promise. It's not a misconception of God. It's a reality of God. And that's why he vindicated 5 times. Eternal life, fellowship with God and power over the earth. To prove you're going back there. That's why he can take you back. So we don't have to live our life making excuses. No. We can be sober this morning and say, Father, I sat and I listened to you. And I see what you are putting before me. And I know I'm in a circumstance. And thank God you didn't kill me. And the reason you didn't kill me is because I belong to you. And you have a great place in me because you show me not only my life in Joseph, you show me my life in Joseph Brothers. Amen. You see, all in you and all in me. When Jesus becomes Joseph, we become Joseph brothers. Our sins be on the cross. Our sins be on the cross, friends. His forgiveness releases us. But look at the great places in the kingdom we born and call unto. But look what we can inside of us. Amen? This love. I'm sure you know Jesus' love here. Jesus is preaching about this love of God. He's opened up to these Pharisees and his own church the mystery of this love of God. Forgive 70 times 7. And then, when they couldn't understand that, he started to tell the parable to even make it plainer. To show them why. What is the motivation to do that? He said, look at the extent of the forgiveness. The forgiveness you have to do with one another ain't costing you a thing. But the forgiveness that Christ brought to us, it cost God his son. Spit on, humiliated. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. Is that right? He became sin that we can become the righteousness of God. Look what it cost God's son to forgive us. God could not just say, I forgive you, and remain God. Because holiness demands that penalty be paid. And since no man could pay the penalty, God himself became the sacrifice to pay the penalty, to completely rid us of it. And now when he did that now, if he despised the shame and endured the cross, if he becomes so low and they kick him and they laugh at him, and inside of there he's still praying, Father, forgive them. How much you and me to forgive a brother or aught? Or some little something, and you see me and still shut up in prison. And here we listen for nothing. And you're willing to take Judah now to be the slave and lock him away too and make him the slave the rest of your life because you had to get your last farthing. I'm walking on a Jericho wall here the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know. You know why? I am preaching these things and I know you ain't getting it. I know you ain't getting it. Because when you see this, what I'm trying to open and focus you through, you can't treat people the way they treat people. You can't think you're something when you see this. And when you see this and you know you're in that, and you elect, you want to be that. Because you see how that glorifies God. And whatever it takes out of you in your life for God to be glorified and be honored, because if you are to be his victory and the reason of his death, then the victory and the reason of his death mean his life can come back and live in you and have prayer meanings. That's what that means. Because that's why he died, so his life can come back into man and give you something more than church life, more than human life, more than social life, more than you get a cause to be a total woman or a cause to be a total man and to manage your business, and you get 2 degrees with that cause and you get a diploma that's what you can put on your wall. No, God wants to give you a new birth. God wants to come and live inside of you. God wants to display Christ in you wherever you are, that people can know that Jesus Christ lives, that there's a reality of this word inside of you. Oh my. But watch how he's bringing them. They ask him about, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till 7 times? He said, no, 70 times 7. And he realized what was making them argue about 7 times and find, well, 7 times is plenty. And they have a limit on the forgiveness. After they do it humanly, he said, no, 70 times 7. That's how break that human thing. And say, I ain't talking in that carnal realm. Your life can't do that. My life, that's why I come to die. My life can do it inside of you. You get what I'm saying? Friends, you don't want to have nothing in you that is not removed from you. You don't want to play this. Remember the third Paul, you can't manufacture that. This has to be real. This is a divine act of God. This has to be a divine act of God, a divine work of God in your life, that you know God fix it. the sickness inside of me. I don't have that no more. You walk through with that. That is the way it has to be. Once it's there, you fight over it. Something is wrong. Without that, you can't get there. Without that, you cannot get there. That was clear. The angels said, without perfect love, he said, they can't come here. They can go under the other altar and still cry for revenge. Like the foolish, like the souls under the altar, caught up in the second resurrection without the Holy Ghost. They cry for revenge. How long will they avenge us, Lord? In heaven, under the altar, but not in the bride, not in the millennium, not in the city. But they held fast to the word of God and their testimony. When we talk about this life here, the bride is him revealed. That's his victory. Remember, this is not about you. This is God saying, my son is perfect. My son is the real atonement. My son, once and for all, perfected forever them who are sanctified. My son paid the price in full. My son was the real redeemer who can bring them back here. God coming in his son, Christ Jesus. God coming in man to do that work. Then, friends, if that really meant that, then God has a people and Christ is glorified. Because there are people showing that they have Christ's life. If we say we have Christ but we can't do it, then we make him Christ, not God. Then we make him Christ, not divine. You get what I'm saying? Because we are claiming Christ is in us, but we cannot do that. And I will not do it because Christ in me won't let me forgive. That person would be under delusion, wouldn't it? But if a person sees that, and you know my temper, my mind, the devil battling me, my pride in the way, then I'll get rid of all them things. I'll get rid of all them things. Then God is showing me places, depths of humility. And that's not the man now. That's the God. The God's word. You're humbling through the God's word. When you're humble to God, will you humble to anything after, friends? Because sometimes the man don't even know how to do all that. And the man himself, he said, man, that's okay, man. But God tells you, go and make it right. Man says, okay, man. He said, the man said, no, but do that. So you start to believe the man and disobey God now. You start to believe the man and disobey God. God tell you something, friend. Who you serving? God or the man? God wants to witness his life. God wants to witness. If the man got no revelation of what God requires, when God tell you what he requires, you know what God requires. How to do with the man? How to do with God? You have to act out God's word. You have to live out God's word. God wants it. If God was not delivered to you, then God never had a witness of that word to that man. Then that means anybody can tell you and make you change what God tells you. God will go and baptize my father's Holy Ghost. This is in my Lord Jesus Christ. And a man tell you, well, it means the same. God is mine. You know, I want to get baptized, man. He has believed that baptized shall be seen. And then you say, okay, how you want to get baptized? Father's Holy Ghost baptized you. Then now you shall believe the man again. You get what I'm saying? When God tells you, do something, you have to do what God tells you, not what man tells you. Because God is the one who sent you. God is the one who show you and send you. But this is where a lot of people just get themselves in problem. And then when those things come back up, it starts to bother them again. And when it starts to bother them again, they cannot have no more faith. They rubber the peace. So they have torment in their mind now. Now they're wrestling in an inner struggle with their conscience. And if their conscience condemning them, they can't have confidence. And they try their faith, and that thing rises up right here, and they can't have faith. Because the man on the inside is who control the ship, not this man out here. You see, thoughts is a powerful thing, friend. The angels say thoughts speak louder in heaven than the words on earth. Maybe you don't think of thoughts, but thoughts speak louder in heaven. Baptist, Jesus perceived the thoughts. He can tell if you're coming. The prophet made them say, don't you think that? That's powerful. And if you think it's silent in you and God and that gift in his life, brother, he can discern them things and say, I feel like a wave coming against me. How much more that rage is inside a man? What did it cause people in the West break down? And sick. And uneasy. And the stomach can't digest the food. And then they can't sleep. They're tossing in the bed. You think it's the bed? You think it's the draft coming through the window? But you see, people don't live their life where they ought to live their life. That's why demonology, people live their whole life and they're conscious of the realm of demonology. Why? Because to get there, you ought to get in the realm of spirit. When you meet people, how do you know what kind of spirit a person has? Half the time people get deceived. You know why? They're watching clothes, they're smelling perfume, they're watching nice outfit, they're watching how people dress, they're watching what match with what. And they can't see the spirit in the person. And they get deceived. Every time people fall, they get deceived. Why? Every time you get lured in a current, somebody pull that next to them and play with a person in the spirit realm, making move on everything else, on somebody else. And their wife and children. You get what I'm saying? Why? Somebody intense in spirit already cleaning the atmosphere around them. How when you read the first thing you say, my wife or my husband? Why? You bring that out! You don't know, I'm a husband, I'm a wife! Check that thing right here. But people, you see, they live out what? They live an external life. Them demons say, Paul, we know. And Jesus, we know. Who told you? The devil know your friend. You're gonna, when you really meet the devil, you say, who? You come to cast out you? He said, get 10 like you already. Here. That's right. Even the disciples and the Son of Man come back and say, Lord, we can cast the devil out. Is that right? Don't play them games, friends. It coming. You know where it's coming down to now? When people want to live all kind of life from the church? You know where it's coming down to? You know where God trying to bring up the perfection? But in our church, spirit, the take the holy, sacred word of God, the revealed plan. It is take the requirement and they say, that hard preaching, this and that and that. And then they water that down, and then all them enticing spirits remain right there and get back comfortable. And then the same blind people now say, boy, you shall not permit you, you shall not do this, because you're all late, you know, you shall not. And they're trying to get woke up afresh in desperation. While all the time, if they had any sensitiveness, they would see that when you go in the grocery, you have to be watching the way, they pick up this boxer thing. They watch the picture in front, you know. They watch the information inside. They see what's inside it. What's inside it. They watch the expiry date. They watch all the nice picture with the thing running down with somebody, you know, put it up on the thing and the advertisement, you know. No. They watch it all out. And then they calculating what they buy. And then they know. And if people will be that specific in them natural things, then how much more the word of God, friends? We talking about your soul now, and what you're taking in, and what God requires of you, and what it costing you. take a walk there. And you're getting sober in your heart. And say, Lord, help me. I have that under control yet. But Lord Jesus, I know you can give me the strength for that. That honors God, friend. That honors God. That don't make you bad. That honors God. First, you're honest before Him. And secondly, you're putting your faith and trust in Him, believing He's the one to help you out of that. But somehow, the enemy just get people are blinded from that. And they feel our church should be a nice place like the cinema or the stadium. No frontier judgment begin in the house of God. They forget the Bible. They forget the Bible. So they love all the little programs that we have. Birthday party for this one. Special anniversary party for this one. Dinner party for this one. And then the church now gets full of parties. And then you get real unity and support for little parties around the church to eat and drink and be merry. Which is fine. You need that. But once that has the outweigh, the real purpose you're coming for, I want to lose sight. And then the other one come like kill joy, this one come like plenty joy. Then your mind then starts to get muddled up. Because here's not a restaurant. Yes, it is. Yes. You have a whole 7-course menu here. The feet of the world. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So we just kind of just get out of that. Don't want to get too intense to make you feel all bad, but I know how I'm saying this. I'm saying, why evade? Why hide it? What you fearful about? I'm saying, go to God. Say, Father, you can help me. Lord, I want to overcome. I want to glorify you. I want to be an instrument in your hands. Because if I'm not, I'm just coming along in church. I'm really pleasing people. I'm coming for people to see me. But I ain't coming for that. If I'm going to see me, I gotta tell them where I live and come home by me. Or I go home by them. But when I come here, Lord, I come to you. I come to understand the purpose. How to walk. Where to walk. How to stand in this day. Because I know that you are here preparing the people. So Jesus now, to break that thing seven times, he went into the parable. And the parable, he gave them a picture. And this picture was designed to reveal to them the magnitude of man's crime and man's sin to God. Because the man couldn't pay, he, family, all he owned, everything. Still couldn't have paid, but all had to be sold to try to settle that account. He said, but then when he bring now man's sin to one another, he bring it down to 1/600,000 in relation to what we do to God, each other. And that didn't cost us nothing, because it cost God to become flesh, to die in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. On Calvary's tree for us. And then he say now, watch. Verse 30. So this man who had owed 50 pence, 100 pence, this man, he said the same thing, but he didn't jolt the man's memory at all. And he would not. But he went and cast him in the prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow men, so when saw what was done, they were sorry. And they came and they told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. That's when we go to God. We go to God many times, and we do something wrong. And we beg God. And then somebody offend us. We get to them. Shouldest thou not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. That's the whole punchline right there. That's the point he's making. When they ask him for forgiveness, he says, shouldest now not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors, the inquisitors, the jailers, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts, not just forgive it, from your hearts, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So they came to Joseph. And I'm trying to show you here in the New Testament scriptures of Christ and the forgiveness that is to be in the church. Because Stephen, when they were stoning him, he too did exactly what Jesus did. Persecuted unto death and dying. And he said, fatherly, not this sin against the church. Showing that the very same life that was in Jesus had come back in him. Now what's happening? When he was here, that was God with us. But then to the Holy Spirit coming back, it becomes now God in us. Is that right? God above us, God with us, and God in us. So when you come back to God in us, not just the gifts now, seeing the vision, interpreting the dreams, not just having the wisdom, the very life of God to forgive. So here he is opening this and showing in this picture this mystery of forgiveness. Now Joseph, to me, that was the high point in Joseph's life. Because the great part of the story told you how he was hated for his dreams. The thing was, it wasn't an argument over the dream. They threw him in the pit. They sold him. He ended up being in prison, all these things. And all he suffered. But in the end, when that came to him, and the same people come, and now he had authority, now they needed him. Now they wanted, he stood between them and death. And he decided to nourish them. And he decided to comfort them. And not just doing it, you know, he wept. When they say, you know, our father, and he realized, I forgive you all. And you all ain't understand what it is to be forgiven. And when I forgive you and blot that thing completely out. Never to bring up that between me and you all. That don't exist. You might have meant it for evil, but God meant that for good. Because no, watch this. And a message called Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. 1963 says, in the 20 years of research of the Bible and talking with the angel of the Lord, here it is. In 20 years of research of the Bible and talking with the angel of the Lord and the many things, I find here is two things. That is love and faith. If you love God just purely unadulterated love, you've got to have faith in Him. It will accompany faith every time. And when love and faith gets married, you ask what you want to and you'll have it. When you know that your Heavenly Father cannot tell you any lie, He's God, He can't lie. And then when you believe Him with all your heart and you believe that what you ask for, you ask it with not for any selfish motive, but you have the right motive behind here, is ask it for the glory of God and believe without a shadow of a doubt that your Father wouldn't lie to you. Something's got to take place. And when you can get all the couple birds out of the way and just look right straight at the Calvary and believe it with your heart. Now, He said 20 years. Where he said dead rate about 8 times. Truckload of wheelchairs. 7 truckload of wheelchairs. 30,000 civil one meeting. China people in Bombay. See the storm work in Germany. All of them get saved. All these things in Mexico. The dead baby. The blind man. All these things. He said, I find there's two things. Love and faith. He said, you get them two together. He said, and you are in a position that anything you ask, you can have it. Because if that is genuine love, your motive will be genuine. You can have love in your heart and have a wrong motive towards somebody. Now watch that. Perfect faith. After he read St. Mark 11, 22-26, he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever saith to this mountain, be thou removed. You know the scripture. And then he ended up saying, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. Now, this is not a commandment, you know. This is revealing the principle it takes for this to work. To stand and speak. When you think it's commandment, you're a legalist. You think it's commandment now, you feel condemned. When it's a principle, you say, oh, so I'm working with the wrong thing. I need to get this out of my way. This ground of my power. This fear I have. This doubt I have. This attitude I have to my brother and sister. I have changed that. And this don't work in me. That is the way you have to see it. You got conscious in Jezebel. You know what I'm saying? By saying, put God first. Mix him with your oil. Then breathe through sticks. And you see things happen. If it's Jezebel, I say, God feed the dog. But because I know who I'm preaching to, I'm showing you she had selfishness. Me and my son, he had to remove, knock all that out. To get her in the condition where she ought to be. He had to line up with the plan of God and not self-preservation. You know what I'm saying? If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. No, Jesus told us to knock them directly to the spoken word, directly to the third Paul, directly to a person forming the image of the word that could speak. It's not a power thing and a mind thing, it's a love thing. Love for God, love for your brother and sister. Where's the burnt offering? Love the Lord all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And what? Love your brothers yourself. First four commandments to God. Last six to your neighbor. Is that right? That's right. Line me up, God and man. Now, faith is based on forgiveness. Then, he said, if that is so, after Jesus teaches us in Mark 11:23, don't doubt in your heart the believing things you say. And when you stand praying, forgive. He said, now faith is based on forgiveness then. And then, as we said this morning, trying to get the church into the place where we could really see apostolic times moving among us, that's what we all hunger. And it's just laying right at the door. We see it. But we want to see more of it. We want it in such a flow, it will help to us flow to others. Now, this perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith, master of all circumstances. Don't want Joseph love. Faith and forgiveness. No matter what it is, masters. Now just watch. When you believe anything, do anything, you got faith in what you are doing. No matter what the circumstances, that don't have one thing to do with it. See? It masters the circumstance. Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he will do it anyhow. It masters all circumstances. If you know you're loving right to God, remember Jesus told Peter, lovest thou me more than these. He said, yeah, Lord, I love you. But he's answering to you. The Lord asked me, agapo. Love has done me more than these. He said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. He went back fishing. The Lord had told him something and he disobeyed. He had denied the Lord. Even after he come and he see the linen cloth and all these things in the tomb. He still went back fishing. Even after the Lord said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He still went back fishing. Why? You see, condemnation, you know, is there. But these are the stranglers. A lot of us, you know, maybe not even have no real enemies. Or people that you have, you know, in your mind as your enemy, and you can't get along with them, and you can't talk to them. You know, and you go, you get all bent over the shape and everything else as they come up, or as you see them, and you know, you go through a pressure. Maybe somebody don't have that. But the thing is, sometimes things that condemn you in your life, you try to shake it off. You try to shake it off. And you don't know how to be released from it. You don't know how to put it away. And so you struggle. And keeping those things in your life, eventually you don't prosper. It weakens you. It's a parasite. It saps you. So after a while, you have no real joy. You're condemned. You sort of follow afar off. And before you know it, you begin to wiggle off the path. Now you want to do that, but you can't make progress with that in your life. And you need to settle that thing. But you're trying to deal with like a mind of a matter thing. Well, if God to move it, God to move it. No, you work out your salvation with your trembling. In other words, there are certain things in the world that you need to do. You get the broom and you get the candle, and you shall sweep that house. You know what I'm saying? It has things you have to do in your own life. It has things that you have to put that away by confession your blood, by restoration people too. And the reason he tells those things is not that. Now, the person who uses the law of the world, they use that to condemn you. Blessed are men who revile you and persecute you and speak of man evil against you. You must bless them and pray for them. You do that? Well, you're not of God. They can use that word and beat you down. But he's not telling that for that. He's telling that to say, don't let that get in your subconscious. So the way you keep your subconscious clear, you pray for them. That's how you deal with that. You don't let the bitterness get in the air. So you speak the good things about them. Let them speak the bad things about you. You don't go and try to pull them down. You know what I'm saying? Now when that gets you, the root of bitterness, the fiery dark already gets you. Because you misunderstand what you're going through. You lost your focus. God let you go through some persecution there. But look how you react right away. Don't get revengeful. Anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. And the progression starts inside of you with the poison. Until malice, now you're looking for them to fall. To say, uh-huh, good for them. You're waiting for something to happen. Why? You then get trapped. You get trapped. You start to rejoice in iniquity. Because you have love and you have revelation, you don't fight the blind man, you pity him. But you're planning for the blind man. He's blind. So your light and your seeing means nothing to you. You'll be thanking God, oh God, look what I could have been in that condition. God help the poor man. He has nice gifts, he has nice talents. But Lord, could the devil get a hold of the way the devil is doing? Maybe you don't have somebody to pray for him. But Lord, I can pray for him. Change your way. You know what? If he don't deserve it, it come back to you. It come back to you. And it comes to you. Because look what your thoughts was. And then God is sure is seeing. Look at the kind of son I have. Look at the kind of daughter I have. Look how they raise up from the muck and the mire and the doggy dog world. Look at the cleansing power of my blood and my spirit is able to raise up into heavenly places. Look how now others can come and draw from them what they have. See? Because when you live dog, you can't handle God's power. He's a maniac. To handle God's power, you have to love people. God went so far, been people in the church making love and carrying and laughing and mocking him. To show that if you are a man of power, what are you going to use it for? When he was condemning the woman, God showed his vision of the blood and shame his own sin. God constantly was trying to hold him in a place. I give you gifts, I give you power, I give you love, and these things, but that is to honor me and represent me. That's not our side, people. We're going to call him recantless. God pull him back and shake him about it. And then you will see that deeper place. I want to run them the bank and cry after them, even though they reject me. That is the footprints he left. He said, Tony, I'm following them footprints. I pointed you to them footprints. You have to follow the same footprints. Because you have chosen the hard way, a huge portion of heaven awaits you. It will make and bring the path a tremendous victory in the love divine. Not as a sense of duty. Otherwise, you didn't see Joseph yet. You didn't see where this man was living. You didn't see why God is revealing things to you. You didn't see the faith and the character of the person. You didn't see the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't see what the last day church is supposed to be. It's just Joseph, 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 Joseph. This is Joseph. This is Joseph. Joseph is Christ in you. Every one of you producing is Joseph. Christ is this forgiveness. That wasn't Joseph like us. Christ in Joseph. He's the one that prospers you. Time is up. Quickly. Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it anyhow. See, master circumstances. And faith and love is relations. Because you can't have faith unless you've got love. Because your faith is in a God who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. And when we were sinners, alienated without God in the world, in that muck of mud, as I talk about this morning, he appreciated daily. How can I ever come? God comes to us, sought you up, sought out you. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God came down in that muck, what you were, and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Jesus had preached that to the man. He couldn't pay the debt. Our birth, we are trapped in that condition that we couldn't give ourselves a new birth. And he had to come down and by his sacrifice and the shed of his blood, we were loose of our sins. And his life came upon us and we take all the divine nature to raise up now and reflect that God who was with us. Now that God is in us, continuing his very same work. And that's what he's teaching the man. And when that happened, he and that man was in such a way that he could, God does not see that sin. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. It don't exist. You stand as you never did sin in the first place. Well, if you was that man who never sinned in the first place, then you have to be a maniac to start to fight this man. And threaten this man and intimidate this man and ball up this man and put down this person. You have to be a real bent over shape person. But if you still see that, you mention the word forgiveness, but in your heart, they forgive. You use a word your lips can pronounce. Because forgiveness is supposed to cancel the debt. Now, with us as human beings, your memory will still remember something happened. And though you maybe can't block the memory of your mind, yet the mistrust that came up, that is removed. Because you see the person's repentance. Now Joseph could not conceal himself any longer from them and continue to carry them through the exercise. After he saw there was change. The father said, the Bible, the first thing he wrote Joseph in the Bible was what? And he brought their evil report to the father. Is that right? Then the father said, go and see what they're doing. And they were supposed to be in Shechem, but they went down to Dothan. Then the man said, they're here, and they're going to Dothan. He said, what? So he followed them down there. And they see him coming. Look at the little spy coming again. Look at the tail bearer.
Yeah, brother.
Look at the secret agent.
Yeah.
Following me around again. We're going to do from this time. Look at the news carrier, Mr. CNN. Watch him. He come in. But the thing was, it was like tail bearing. They wasn't thinking of the father name. They wasn't thinking of the father stood for. They wasn't thinking of the integrity of the family line. They wasn't thinking of the holy calling that they was called with. Because they're blind and callous and they carrying themselves anywhere. And then when he said, Daddy, you have to do some of them boys, you know. I can't talk to them, you have to talk to them, you know. Because them boys and them, what can the family will stink again, you know. If you think Dinah and Judah and them was stink, that joke will come in again, Daddy. You have to be careful with these fellas and them. Daddy, I pray in my heart for them fellas, you know. But I know they need speaking to now. You get what I'm saying? That is what he was about. He was no tail bearer. He wasn't watching the secret. But their life was so low. Their life was so sensual. Their life was so carnal. Good in a great family. Of a prophet. That's right. Who brought that message of grace? We are a prophet who brought a message of grace. Who desired us? At Joseph. Because he was like a Jacob without message of grace. And out of his very own life, put in a very perfection with Christ. The true Joseph. Now watch something. Then, when that time came, and he saw them coming, he said, you are spies! Come just pound along! So I took them rough. He said, furthermore, I keep it one of you all. If all is not spies, go and bring your father and your brother. Let me see. Then when they come back in, he held Simeon. Shut him up in prison. Just like him, when they see him coming, the spy coming, they take him and they put him in prison. They put him in the pit. And they shut him up. That is why out of all the evil they did for 22 years, the one evil that come back to their mind is, our iniquity has found us out. You see what I'm telling you? What I'm doing to the boy and the boy is crying, you see? For yourself. That one, you know why? He dealt with them in a way to awaken that sleeping conscience. What does it tell us? Show the Lord is dealing with us, friends. We just forget a lot of things in our lives. And God, which in mercy, can make sure you walk blind and you don't leave a lot of things in your life unattended. You just wake up that thing and you call it a settle your account. That's right. That's God's manner of dealing with his children. It was designed to awaken the memory and the conscience. They had to come into recognition of their sin and come to true repentance. He threatened them. He said, "One who the cup is from will be my slave." And he makes sure they put in Benjamin band. He chooses up Benjamin. You know why? He tested him to see. That was Rachel's son. He and Benjamin were brothers from the same womb. And Benjamin was now the father beloved after he, the father beloved, was supposed to have died. So you can test them and see what kind of nature they have still. You get what I'm saying? God, God, dealing with people concerning what? Awakening the inner man. You know why? Because you have a place for you in his economy. And for Judah to get the kingship, he had to get that out of him. For Levi to become the priest, he had to get that out of him. You get what I'm saying? All them things was in them. There was call for great calling. And before the Father prophetic blessing could come from his mouth upon them, all of this had to be moved. Because God can't put that blessing on sin. And that's why a lot of people waiting for the power of God. Friends, the power of God fall this morning in such a great point. A lot of people will be false anointed ones inside of here. They're going to be falling on things, all kind of cockle burrs and all kind of thistles and thorns. They'll be falling in their lives that never get root out. Because what lies fall on the thorns, it bring up thorns. When the rain falls on the flower, it bring up the flower. If it falls on the corn, it bring up the corn. Rain don't make the seed what it is. Rain only manifests the life that is in the seed. So you have to know what in your earth. What in your earth? If you have hate and resentment and bitterness inside of here, when that holy... You ever see people come and live normal? Denomination, they cover up their lies. For years and years and years. Live that double standard hypocritical life. Then they come on the message. It didn't last a month. It didn't last a month. And they want to know how come they live all them years in denomination and like that never manifests anyway. And you come 2 months in the message and all that trouble starts to come out of your life. You know why? You come under the light, not electric light, sunlight. The light of the SON. Quickening power to quicken and manifest what's inside of there. You can't hold that. They keep that here, you gotta stay away from the true word. You get them the true word, friends. That will pull everything inside of you out. You'll find you have a temper there. What that temper really start to act up. You'll find you have a spirit of adultery you carry in your life all the years there. Watch the things that act up. That's right. Don't play with that, friends. This is life. This is laws. This is spiritual laws. This comes like you're putting your hand in a life socket and expect to get shot. And he was treating them that way. He was treating them that way to bring them right back into the very seed. He says, this was my slave. When they pulled the cup out of this boy bag. He says, all right, he's my slave. But Judah said, Bob. Judah said, he said, no. Now we father dead. If this boy goes, now we father dead. He survived. He battled, but he hold on to his body. But the only source of strength to live. And if this boy goes, that's it. He says, sir, please. He said, we deserve. We have no excuse. We all found wanting here. He said, but let this go back home. Let it carry back the boy. My father had to be glad. But my father didn't want to send the boy down here at all. Let something happen like the first son. He said, but take me. I could be a slave. Our wife, our children, our land, our sheep and cattle. They'll never see me again. But I'm willing to pay this price for this boy. And all the rest of them stand there in support. Because why? They who had conspired to kill Joseph conspired to make sure Benjamin didn't go the same way. And when he threatened them to be slave, they realized, look, they sell him into slavery. But now they love this one. He can't be no slave. They will keep him from sleep. And he began to see these men's hearts had turned around. He began to see that these men had gone through experience and was changed. And the Bible says after Judah talked, he couldn't keep it back no more. He walked in a room and he said, I. He said, he put everybody from away from him. And he pulled the thing out. He said, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. Now, friends, let me tell you this. And here it was. In the end, the same way, after God sees in our heart, our willingness, that we have learned our lessons. Lord, I don't want to go that way again, Father. I shame you. I did that wrong. I was so concerned for the last 2 years and 3 years, Lord, that nobody would know this. I come like Kate. My punishment is more than I can bear. are watching the severity of the sentence rather than the magnitude of the sin. I'm judging you, the judge, instead I judge myself. And had I judged myself, I would not be condemned with the world. 1 Corinthians 11, when you're taking the Lord's Supper. Is that right? Discern the body. He says, and what? Search your own self, lest you be condemned with the world. What a thing, friends. What a thing. That conscience slept all in years. Maybe yours has slept a long time. Maybe you go along thinking nobody has seen you. Maybe you get comfortable in that. Because your conscience gets so numb that you forget angels, that you can report their night. You forget angels all around you, seeing the condition and seeing your life. Yet when you get before God, you want to ask God for this and that and the other, and you don't realize disrespect and dishonor for that, because the mere fact that you take His shed blood to bring you in His presence, even to offer a prayer, you come in that presence to offer that prayer on the basis of that blood, and that very blood is what is to wash away your sin, and you hide your very sin from that very blood. You're asking for things on the basis of that blood. And so you bring to naught the work that He done. When it was love that moved Him to do that, because He was a creator, He could create. He could raise up stone to be Abraham's seed. But He planned your life in that way so you could be convinced, and I could be convinced, of the love with which He loved us. You get what I'm saying? How, that clear to you? That's clear to you? And here when He's telling that parable now, He's telling them, He says, look at David. David was, I'm closing, let me use his company. David was there in the sheepcote, and God came to him and called him. And after God called David in the sheepcote, from the sheepcote, David goes out and comes in the presence of Samuel. And Samuel reveals to him, he says, son, you've been called and chosen and called for a special work. You are God's elected king. This day I anoint you for service. David had faith, a revelation of his position, just like you and me. God come down in this age, call us, give us a revelation of a position that He has for us in Christ Jesus. Chosen and predestinated unto thee, adoption, your place in a position in Christ. He went well for this faith in the midst of the flocks, keeping his father's flocks. A lion coming, a bear coming. But he had a sacred responsibility to the charge that the father entrusted upon him to care for that sheep. He knew everyone by name. He knew the ones that belonged to him. And he guarded them with his life. Bible says he told those servants of Saul, he said, God delivered me from the mouth of the lion, and God delivered me from the mouth of the bear. There's a power out of that revelation. Virtue, power for service. To strengthen. Strength and power to strengthen those around you. Kept the father's sheep secure. Because he had a revelation, he couldn't die. He was not yet king. There was 7 steps to the throne. The place was chosen and predestinated unto him. He had knowledge to know that that word in the mouth of a vindicated prophet could not fail. That God have a time and a season to every purpose under heaven. He went up in the battle that day and Saul offered money. The house of their father would be made great, and he gave him a daughter for wife.
money, women, and popularity. If the man who would go out there and fight that giant, he had temperance. He said, I ain't come here for money. I ain't come here for popularity. I ain't come here for no woman. I come in the name of the Lord. How could this uncircumcised Philistine curse the name of the living God? And we are covenant Israelites. Have you forgotten about Joshua? Have you forgotten about Moses? Have you forgotten about Abraham? In other words, look what motivates people to act in faith, friends. Faith is not the kind of thing that comes in the mind and you're that faith, friends, and faith, right? No, no. Look what motivates faith. Look what makes this operate. Sometimes people want to do it for show, or they have a feeling, or they kind of charge up themselves with the Bible, say they have authority, and they go and they try to manifest that authority. And it's all in vain and in self. It's not for God's glory. It's not for the assistance of the person many times. Sometimes they show that they could put on a great presentation. Saul even tried to put his clothing upon him. He wouldn't. He had patience. God delivered his enemy into his hands. And he take his sword and he go to kill him. His servant brother, Abishai, he said, touch him now. He wasn't hurry. He got to wait on his ministry. He got to wait until the time is going to be placed. He knew if he anointed for that place, he's going to come into that place. No amount of devils will keep out of that place. He stood there. He said, touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. What's their life? God have appointed time and season. God who begin this work will perform it even until that day. He had godliness. He came out there. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. This shepherd, this psalmist, this one the Bible says he behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. He knew what pleases the Father. The Father, I do those things that please you always. The Father could say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. He knew to carry himself. He lived for the honor and glory of God. He lived to be an example in Israel. The Bible says prudent in matters. How he behaved, talk about it, how he behaved himself. Bodily kindness. Saul, jealous, envious, trying all kinds of schemes, running down, taking a whole platoon of men to corner him and kill him. He says, you is the king. Who am I? He says, I'm like a flea, I'm a dog. You are the king in Israel. What are you doing out in the wilderness? You should be in your bed. This is work for henchmen and cutthroats. You're going to send me, you got to come here. In other words, you're bringing down the kingship. And you're bringing down the throne of Israel. By you running out here full of revenge and this spirit of jealousy and envy. They kill me for no cause. Haven't I served you? Haven't I been a loyal servant? It's not me telling people sing this. David 10,000. Not me doing it. I ain't go there. You all remember that day when I went there in for the name of the Lord. Not to make a name. Not for my father's house. See? Even when his enemies died. Saul and the battle. And then Jonathan also died. Who was the one that loved him. Love cover multitude of sins. He said, let the republishing God. He didn't say, look at the old dog now. Look at a Philistine kill him. A Malachite kill him. See? Be not deceived, God is not mocked with a man. So that shall he also. He could have said all that and all that will be true. But he chose not to say that. He said, Saul and Jonathan, swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. He said, let not how they die be published in Gath and the Ekron.
He said, but let me remember like this. And he listened on. Even after that time, it whispered. He still saw he could have treated them better and give them a better burial. He went and dig up the bones after that. He was provoked. They even go an extra mile and dig up the bones and give them a better burial. What it does to you, when God deals with a person in their heart. Look at David. Oh, we all would like to be a David. We all want to be David. David means beloved. David is anointed, elected, called, anointed, and placed. But watch the way the man walked. It was Christ. It was a mystery of Christ being revealed. Look at Joseph. By faith, he had a revelation of his position. Virtue trying to strengthen him, it benefited his revelation. Begin to get persecuted. Knowledge to know God at a time and season. Temperance. When Potiphar's wife come, when the brothers and them do, no reaction, no retaliation. Rather, he never tell them people, these eyes are brother, and these men and them, you know, they hate me. Take me to my father Jacob. Nothing. He keep quiet. He be quiet and let us sell him into slavery. Because he was thinking more with his brothers and them than himself. It'll bring your father name to shame again. And rather than bring the father name to shame, he take it. Sold into slavery as merchandise in a foreign land. Conquered all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing that the testimony of faith to get patience. And patient experience and experience hope. And hope that make it not ashamed. And to see how that life was being formed. The vessel. The potter. Molding that vessel. Potter will wipe down. He says, what? Do this great wickedness? What she thought was pleasure and enticement and pressing upon the day and night. He called it great wickedness. He called it great wickedness. He said, sin against God. He said, how could I do this to your husband? You think I am ungrateful? That man buy me an auction block and put everything in my hand here. Watch the qualities in your life. Watch the kind of person he was. Showing this end time Joseph, this spiritual church. When the real Joseph Christ is reproduced to human beings, a harvest of Josephs. Think. Look at the godliness. Come up here. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Let Pharaoh get a man to do this. He didn't say, make a bargain and negotiate, you know. Let Pharaoh get a man to do this. Build barns. Plant of the land. Such and such. He gave the whole plan. He tried to exalt himself and push to the job. Pharaoh says, what? Get a man? He said, why are we going to look for a man? You is the man. There is no man like you in this whole kingdom. And the Spirit of God is in you. Then brotherly kindness. His own brothers come there. And he saw them. But all he was interested in was their deliverance. That to make them better men. To make them men who, instead of was callous and hard and evil and vindictive and jealous and envious and base and without feeling and corrupt. He could even see that when God made that covenant to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the great plans that God had for that race and that people, that family. And he desired that they raise up to walk in that place. And love have a multitude of sins. Look at him weeping with forgiveness. That's the man that's going to rapture. That's the man who's going to sit in the throne and have dominion and share the throne with God, like David. That's the man like Joseph. Look at Abraham. Leave him dying to be a Sheba, throwing life on the line to go after his lost fallen brother. After all the contention, the strife, and he went, choose all the place where the water was plentiful, the grass was plentiful, went towards Sodom. Yet Abraham risked his life with his men to go and get him back. And when he came back, he went back in Sodom. And yet Abraham was still there praying. When Elohim came, the supreme judge, to get him out of suffering. That's what we're talking about. This love, this forgiveness, that can look beyond the fault and see the need. That can see the purpose of God. Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath. Bitterness is that spirit of bitterness that he says that defile many, like Esau was defiled. If you have bitterness inside of you today, you get bitter with people, it's going to defile and make you fail of the grace of God, the Bible says. Out of that bitterness come anger, come wrath. And that's the beginning of the anger. And out of anger, that's when the wrath now is carried to the highest pitch, where you have to start to speak and express yourself and misbehave. All kind of outrageous acts, all kind of injurious words to a person, to hurt them, to pull them down, to make them look bad. And then you start to enjoy that too. That they can't withstand your barrage of insults. And you can cut them down. And clamor. Clamor is loud and brawling and boisterous talk. Railing, which is the offspring of wrath. You get angry, you get incensed. That slander, you get boisterous, that threaten, you start to get vindictive, you start to rail on you. You're the verge of pelting blows. And evil speaking. And out of that, blasphemy. Is what it means. The word there is blasphemia. It means blasphemy. Injurious speaking. Words which tend to hurt those of whom or against whom they are spoken. It's words intend to hurt them. The tale bearing start. Girl, if you know what she do me. And if you know what he do me. But I will fix them. And when I done with them, they will like, don't mess with me at all. And they start to get here. It starts with bitterness. It progresses into wrath. It carries its pitch of anger. And that is the stage of insanity. Insanity coming. You're losing all control of mind, spirit. Then clamor. And you start now to behave. And you get boisterous. Because you want other people around to hear your voice. And no longer you're being quiet and you lost all sense of reason. You say, here is not the place and here is not the time for that. Let's go and meet and talk this over in a proper way and discuss this matter. Because you're no longer trying to help nobody now. You want to give vent to your rage. You say, wait. He wrote that not to Corinthians or Romans, he wrote that to Ephesians. That's what Ephesians says. And with all malice, all malignity, as anger produces wrath and wrath clamor, so altogether produce malice. Settle sullen wrath, which is always looking out for opportunities to revenge itself by the destruction of the object of its indignation. The anger becomes so strong, and all the boisterous explosion didn't fully satisfy.
So now, it really still we're looking for opportunities where you can get the satisfaction of revenge. You see, hurt, harm, danger, humiliation of the ones that your anger and your hate now and your resentment is directed to. But Joseph had charity. The word charity is agape. Divine love. God's own love. It's it. Agape never fails. Agape love thinketh no evil, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puff up, doesn't behave itself unseemly. It don't seek her own, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Agape never fails. Paul said, put on agape, the bond of perfectness. Put on agape, the capstone, the caps of the pyramid of your life, divine love. Put on this, the great seal, the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, those seven candles are mystery. They'll bring back the headstone. They'll cap the pyramids of our life. Is that when Joseph, who started with faith in the revelation, had come out into such a place that you turn around now and display that? That's the man who could say, bury my bones. That's the man who's going to be in the resurrection, friends. I trust it's sinking to your heart. You see how you're real quiet and nice under the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that is nice. And I trust that this word now is settled down on the inside. Because God wants to lift us up. You know, as we go in this work in the region, things keep happening. Gerald and St. Lucia, Holy Spirit, just Tuesday morning, get up there. Something wasn't right, give the nudge, say, get in the ground. You all need to get in the ground today. Get in the ground. Say, in St. Lucia, as I wasn't here for Wednesday service, we plan to go Thursday. The Holy Spirit moved there early, sensitive to it. We get there, and I keep telling this brother Antoine, I says, that shanty town, you need to take me in that shanty town. I need to go in the shanty. I said, because in the dream that I had, I see poor people. He had planned to have the meeting, dinner and fellowship, and get all the big business friends. We went out there in the shanty town. One Saturday, I began to talk to him, and after the Friday service, when his friends didn't show up, and I began to show him man's way, and then this God's way. And he was so convicted there. He said, you ready to go now? I said, sure. You got over into the shanty town. And you get them to like a pigsty. You get them to a place where you went into the homes of these couple of the people and sit down. In one particular home, you know these people don't read Bible. Maybe never opened my Bible in their life. I sit down there. I look outside and see the coconut tree. See a fowl in the yard. And I begin to preach to them about the coconut tree and the fowl. About potential. And the right atmosphere. For something to grow. And why death in the environment. Because that atmosphere has changed. That they're living in. While speaking there, my attention, I felt pulled to a young girl sitting in the corner. I said, you believe what I'm saying? She says, yes. We're going to talk with them.
I get pulled again to her. After that, I get fun because why am I going to the young girl? I was talking to the mother. We left there, invited them to the meeting. They came out the night, preaching the word. And then I told the poor, I don't want to take time to describe to me. I think maybe the brothers did. I don't know if they did. I don't know what they explained to you and tell you. But even after the meeting, I was telling Sister Susan, he's there and says, I want you to go with this little girl here, befriend her, take her up with you all, talk to them, you know. Talk with girl, talk with her. And then they were taking her home. And I says, yeah, I said, go where they're living, you know, go where they're living. I want you to see where they're living. And she went there to see where this children live. Family, extended family, grandmother, daughter, grandchildren have one bed. The room could hold one little bed. And the living room, the house was big, like just here. So. In the yard, you have to try to find a dry place, like a swamp in the mangrove, like a house in the mangrove. You have to try to find a way to get in that house. And when you get in that house, there. But something, knowing that the Holy Spirit in His people, the presence of God, and love, what love can do. I sit down and watch her, Sister Ali and Sister Liz and them, Sister Mandra and them. They become mothers for some of these people out there. They, who could be their mother, they sing, people come to sit down around them. And God taking these young missionaries there, we're not in the field, befriending these people. I told Brother Stuart, he says, go with the sisters for me, buy a dress for this girl. So when Sunday comes, it's a day, she wouldn't feel bad when she comes to church. They came, next day the girl came back Sunday morning. I was sitting on one side of the building. I feel the person touched my look, sir. But sir, I thought you wanted a seat. I said, well, you can sit right here, you know, your baby, whatever. Then she said, no, I sit over there. Then it quickened me. She felt so cared for. And these people, we had this service in a hotel in the restaurant area that we got to use free because we stayed in the hotel. Nice place. These people, even that Shanty Town, like leaving the fifth dimension to come in the sixth dimension. Normally, they could go to come in that hotel, a new hotel. They wouldn't even let them come in that place. They were able to come here. Nice, sit down and eat a nice meal, go upstairs in the hotel room with the sisters in there, and you could see the effect. Sunday morning, when she came back, she just wanted to show, I come back here. Monday morning, she was back there again. But Michael and they called me this morning, they went down there. I said, you and Brother Boy, make sure, go back there, check back these people. A housewife was preaching about the aunt. I walk in there, so I preach about the aunt. That's why she must see aunts in the house. The Lord, I'm going to preach the whole ministry to the aunt, right there to her. But planning, organize your business, unity and cooperation, the family, and these things. She was so moved. I said, go and tell her for me too. The pastor, send the brothers to visit her again, and they invite her to the service. She had a fellowship yesterday. They all were there. From the shanty, came out. The brother said, you talk about an atmosphere. It's a powerful time they have the prayer. But a bone, and they took a scripture in Rahab about the two spies coming from Rahab in Jericho. But Antoine was going to pick up the brothers in the airport in the morning, coming Friday morning. When he went in there, before he reached, he passed by this man. He said, I have two men coming. I'm going to bring them to talk to you. The man had a dream. The very night, and here's Brother Anton coming in the morning and said, I'm going to bring two men for you. They're coming up this morning to the airport. You're going to meet them.
And the man had a dream that two men was coming to talk to him. The man's going to the organization, the man came out to the meeting the night. After the people went back in the shanty, he sat down there, he started telling his whole life and experience and everything else. Prayed for the man. He was so moved. And just see these brothers. I just felt in my heart, after we made the arrangement with the brothers, we're going to try to send brothers to them. And Brother Bowen was there in the meetings, and he saw how the Spirit moved and what the Spirit did. And that him and Brother Michael came in Thursday night, and then had to leave Friday morning to go back again. Well, I don't know how his job will handle that. I don't want to cause problems for him, but I trust that he gets a little flexible time between here, because certainly they were the ones that could do what we believe. And he called me yesterday. He said, we are in the shanty down here. We just had a nice time, little house fellowship, sing some songs, different things. All the people came around, family and so on. He said, then they invited him the night. They came the night as well. And then they were there to be there in service this morning again. It was love. But the truth, of course. But to go there, when those people saw visitors from a week come, staying in this hotel, and go down there, I can't describe what that place is. That is walking a pig pen. We sit down there with those people, talk with them, pray with them, testify, invite them, then the brothers they went back. And these brothers try to have that big dinner and fellowship, get all the big business friends, but who is coming back to the meeting? The poor. The poor lady ones there. One of the girls in the hotel, I said, I went down the shanty and talked to him. He said, you went down there? I said, what's wrong with you? I said, I met some of the nicest people there. You see, in our message, we have a woman in Memphis with a boy with gonorrhea and syphilis dying on her bed. But that woman faith pull a prophet out of the sky and pull him down in that place. You get what I'm saying? You see, it's where you plug in and where you're pulling from and where you understand that all them things was in the story stole, that all these things come back around. And when you're finding the honest in heart, where you're finding some of them. Sister Kim and Sister Becky. You know, a little missionary, a little mother there. All these other sisters had gone out. And she there in the room, talking with the girl, reading the scriptures for her. Can't read too well. Come and had a child outside of wedlock. When the girl began to tell her story, the hardship she went through, root of my home, some Catholic people. The Catholics put cross on the neck of all them people. You go to a place, everybody have a little wooden cross. And the Catholics went through, claim all them souls. You get down there, Timmy had a dream through the night. Where the saints was there, and they had this child like being offered up. It's kind of voodoo thing because you know out there is the Patwa, and you get among the Creole there, it's like the Haitians and them, and everybody talking Patwa inside. But you see some of the jewels down in that little muck and that mud. If I believe in my heart that God is raising up a people out of some Lucian difference, and that work is going to spring up, and God is going to bring them people. And he testified to my telemessage. I said, one of you, two of you in this community will make a stand for this word if you can bring this whole place down. When the girl came the Monday, she said, my mommy was looking for you yesterday. I said, is that right? See, she thought you was coming. She was waiting home for you. She said she wanted to join your church. Like how they talk, like how they knew you. The lady sat down in the service. One of the most notorious ladies that they have done a sitting room.
But you go in there and you see your money well. And you know, just a mess up life. Live in an area where there is no hope, destitute, poverty. But like you don't beat them and even worse than they beat them. And then they see people coming their home, no score. Sit down there, talk to them, come in the meeting, treat them, come into such an atmosphere. Friends, these things are true. And this is what God wants. And this same Jesus Christ, He's not going to bring everybody all, give them a book and this and that, and say, boy, that touched my heart. No. Where are going to get some of them? He's going to test you. Like your brother told me in Malawi the time, when he saw the extent I was willing to go. And he realized first time here, he had a brother coming, living with the people, eating with the people was eating, not trying to stay in the hotel out there. He says, how low are you willing to live for Christ? I said, what do you mean? He said, some people are like to carry to out in the jungle, that they don't have no clothes, you know. They have no toilet and thing out here. I said, that'll make no difference to me. If that God children, that's where we have to go for them. I said, I'm willing to go by the grace of God. And I still feel that way this morning. I preach this in my heart. Friends, I know the hour is at hand. We're getting ready to leave this place soon. What we can do, we have to do it now. May God break through in your heart and life today. If in your heart you desire this reality, ask Him this morning. Let's stand to our feet. While you stand, you say, Lord, I want this reality. I don't want to put on cosmetic Christianity. I don't want to be a Jew outwardly. I want to be a Jew inwardly. I want to be a real Christian. I want the real Holy Spirit in me. I want to see this faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and grace and brotherly kindness. I don't want to sit in this scornful. I don't want to walk in the way of sinners. I don't want to stand in the council of the ungodly. But I want this genuine thing. I want love for every man. I know I won't be able to be with every person. And I know I won't be able to have the opportunity maybe to please every person. But in my heart, I want to know I can love every person. And I can be genuine in that. And I know without your love, Lord, I would stand with filial love and reason and prefer and rather and be influenced and feel obligated to and try to be compelled to treat people a certain way, these things. But with your love, I could break right out of that humanistic realm. I could walk in a place where your love can flow through me. And Father, whatever it takes this morning to draw closer to you, that's what I'll be willing to do. How many would desire that in their heart? That's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it takes, let's just sing a little song and worship and pray. This is not a condemnation meeting. It's a meeting to awaken that conscience, to jolt that memory, to sensitize us, because the hour is here. The divine bookkeeper has come down in Revelation 10 with the ledger in his hand. He's calling every man to settle their accounts. If you're on the debit side, friends, you want to get on the credit side. You want your sins to be transferred upon Him and His righteousness to be transferred upon you. Adam threw all of us into sin. And we all ended up on the debit side of the ledger. But Jesus came and paid a price. He paid it all. He took the sins and the iniquity of us all. It was laid upon Him like that scapegoat.
You are delivered for offenses. He was raised for our justification. He laid down his life for us. Look what it costs God to forgive us of our sins. Think it costs you and me nothing to forgive those who have wronged us in some way. There's a voice calling me. Can you hear that voice? From an old rugged tree. When he stood there praying, Father, forgive. Love, faith, and forgiveness. No man take my life, I'll lay down, I'll raise up again. Great love at no man can miss. That love was in the Alpha brand. Look at Stephen. That love came back in the Omega, in a prophet. Look at it. Now that is to be displayed in you and me, my brothers, my sisters. That's the place we are calling to. Perfect love, perfect faith, perfect forgiveness. And in the heal the breaches, break down the middle wall of partition. And whatever it takes. I know you all are believers, you want to pray, kneel down, pray at the altar. God will hear your prayer, your believers. Learn to talk over your things with God. Look deep into your heart. Mark this spot today. Settle those accounts with him. That's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for me. Let me more than a song today and comfort for pain. What a place to meet with him here today, friends. Have a nice sister. You can take a place right next to your family. And whatever. Thou will be done. Let that self will be broken today. Let God have his will, friends. I'll be willing. Sometimes the price is great, but God can give you grace. Take the dearest thing to me. All of us, all in the rooms wherever you are, the outside. Let this moment be special between you and him. Let it be a sincere moment to draw me closer to thee. God always hears a sincere prayer. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, he says. Let the disappointments come. Oh, we've had them before. Lonely days without the sun. But we We are determined more than ever. If in sorrow, more like you I'll become. That's our objective, friends. To be more like Jesus. To see his life truly living us. Not a church joining. Take my houses. Take my dreams and my plans. It's so hard for people sometimes. After they make their own plan to lay aside. After they invest in so much of their own plans. I'm placing my whole life in your hands today. And if you call me today, if this is the end of our religion, to a land far away, then I'll go and your will obey. And your will obey. Lift your hands and we sing it to him. And whatever it takes, this is the place to meet with him today. This is the place. We are determined. We have purpose in our hearts. We'll lay aside everything. We'll take up our cross and follow him. Let us become his prisoner of love. We don't just want the gifts, we want to see the virtues in our life. The life of the gifts, the spirit of the gifts. The very character and nature of Jesus Christ that will stay with every word. And whatever it takes for my will to break, we want his will. That's what I'll be willing to do. Every head bow, every eye closed. Almighty God, we are grateful for your presence. We are thankful for the moving of your Holy Spirit. That Lord, in your great simplicity, you know how to bring your word to convict us in our hearts. Because you desire to draw us closer. To bring us, Lord, into a deeper experience with you. A greater knowing of this great love with which you have loved us. That this very love might possess us and work in and through us and flow out unto others. That you, Lord, can make us amateur redeemers, amateur intercessors, that we can be little kinsmen, O God, going forth with your life, deity and humanity in a union, Christ in us. You says in that day you will know as I was in the Father, and the Father in me, so I in you and you in me. That hour is upon us. And Lord, you see the need that we who have been elected and called unto this great calling must take these places in this hour. And so like you did the Joseph brothers, you started, Lord, with that famine. You started, oh God, right in the very own homes, in the very own lives. You begin to move them into the very presence of Joseph. And Lord, you are our Joseph and you know how to bring us to you.
And bring us, oh God, to the place where we can look deep in our hearts. And even though you've had to deal with some of us in a stern way, in a rough way, and Joseph spoke to them in a rough manner, and it scared them, and it intimidated them, and they felt uncomfortable, yet Lord, His love towards them, and His wisdom in dealing with them in that manner, for it was designed to bring them to the awakening of the things in their lives that held them back, Lord, that paralyzed them and short-circuited the moving of Your Spirit in their lives. The hour had come, they had to settle those accounts. And You knew how to bring them to that place of settling. That day of reckoning had come for them. When things that was wrong had to be atoned for. Oh God, You see us all, Father. These at the altar and those who are standing there in their places. Almighty God, see this dear family, oh God, coming this morning to kneel at the altar. Dear Jesus, I pray that Your blessed Holy Spirit, God looking down and seeing their desire after a hard message like this, oh God, God will respond in humility and come, oh God, and take this low place, bowing to the dust of the earth from which You took them. Knowing, oh God, that that's where You took Saul, that great learned Pharisee, oh God, who was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, taught at the feet of Gamaliel, a great man in the seminary and everything else. But oh God, You put him down in the dust because You desire to raise him up, oh God, to become a great apostle of Jesus Christ, that he will take his real place. A place, oh God, that the organization could not give him. A place, oh God, that he came to know the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood. To know the love of God that was expressed there in Calvary's tree. So I pray today, Father, You will bless them. You will enlighten them, oh God. You'll blot all transgressions. You'll break every fetter and every chain. Every power of the enemy, oh God. You said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. And if you that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Bind you in a living way. You draw those that the Father hath given. Knowing no man can come except the Father draw them. And as You have drawn them, O God, today, may Your Holy Spirit, Father, bring that deep, settled peace in their hearts. And once and for all, O God, God, they will experience such great grace like it was in Cornelius' house when the Holy Spirit fell in the home of that Gentile. Yeah, God, they crossed that great chasm, became part of the great household of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, let Your great love, the greatest of release, You said he that believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ, he and his household shall be saved. And as they come in humility, in obedience, reaching out to their Father, may they find that Your God rich in grace and rich in love. May this great light fill their beings. They walk in this higher calling. They walk with Your revealed word. We part the bride. We made ready for Your coming, Father. These Your children, oh God, today sitting under the word and
coming under the effects and seeing places in the lives and these standing out in the congregation, out in the side rooms, all on the outside, wherever they are. Almighty God, even me, I lift my hands. I do have no enemy or anybody, oh God, as I know of Father. But in my heart, how I desire to love with a greater love, oh God, that would cause me to dash out in the forefront in this late dark hour to find that last ones and twos in this region or wherever you'd have me to go, oh God, and that my life would be rededicated, oh God, to your service. And them, oh God, despitefully use me, oh God, and speak all manner of evil against me and persecute me. I know, knowing, oh God, there are quite so many that number. But I pray, oh God, that you lay not these charges against them, but you cause their eyes to be open, oh God, to see the ignorance. We think of St. Paul, who held the clothing of Stephen, oh God, Lord, while them people stoned him, oh God, and held the clothing of all those Jews, Father, because, Lord, they certainly wanted to see him put to death. Yet, oh God, when St. Paul's eyes opened, oh God, he carried that in his conscience. He felt, oh God, he wanted to give back his life. So I pray, oh God, that your love, Father, would cause them to see the condition and how the enemy, Father, is trying to manipulate and exploit them and hold them in that evil and deform them and bring them into such a hideous condition. Father, when if they would yield and submit themselves to you and your Holy Spirit, Father, can reach out and get a hold of them, you can take that vessel and remold it and make something, oh God. Father, you can do a great work out of it. I pray it would be like that, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And oh God, standing here at this sacred desk, where I preach your word down to the ears, oh God, how I want to be a faithful servant, oh God. You say, blessed is that faithful and wise servant, who when the Lord come, he'll find giving up the meat in due season. I think of Peter, oh God, Father, when he was had denied you, Lord, and he stood there and you said, love has done me more than these. They went for trying to provide for themselves what you had already provided for them. Oh God, let us not be caught up in confidence in the flesh and in energy, human energy, oh God, and human wisdom. But Lord, let us be in submission to you, that you can take our lives, Lord, and we can be used of you and directed of you in your service, Father, and go out with that spirit, Lord, to hunt our lost fallen brother like Abraham did, oh God, like you did in the garden, you're searching for Adam. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? And so, Lord, in this hour, that this great Holy Spirit, oh God, can fill our hearts and fill our lives, that we can, Lord, turn this church into a great soul winning program to do all that we can, oh God, until that last one is called, Father. May you grant it, Lord. We see the life of Joseph and realize that's a revelation of you, Father. And Lord, as your word has been expressed to us today, let this same love and this same faith that comes by that love and this forgiveness, oh God, be expressed in and through us, Father, that we truly can be your representative in this hour. Would you do it, Lord? We pray and we ask this, Father. Show us, oh God, dig up. If there are places, we don't want to just take things for granted. We don't just want, Lord, to have a repentance just from our lips, from our heart. And God, where there's genuine forgiveness, all mistrust, all bitterness, all those things come to an end. We cannot look back. And Lord, refuse to bring up anything, oh God. We lay aside all wrath and all anger, all clamor and all evil speaking, all malice. Let us be kind and tender-hearted and compassionate and loving, oh God. Reaching out to each other, Father. Being our brothers and our sisters, keeper. May you grant it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ today, Lord, we pray and we ask these things. Truly, we desire to see a church rise up. We believe that this fellowship you have brought us into with Joseph, and this great mystery that closed out this book of Genesis, the perfection, the Lord God, truly it would become more than little lessons. These truths will be revealed, be written and engraved in our hearts. For you said, I will write my laws in your hearts and in your minds. I will remember your iniquities and your sins no more. And no man will have to say, no, the Lord, we'll all know you. This is the covenant that you will establish with your people in this hour. God, may you grant it. Our lives could be a picture, a letter written by your hand for the world to read and to see and to feel and to know that you live in us, Father. That truly will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask. Amen. Amen. Believe from your heart, my brother, my sister, with all sincerity, that He has forgiven you, and that you, in your heart, have found grace to forgive. And even though someone refused to forgive you, you still forgive them. And be kind to them. May God bless you. May His Spirit in your life come to lead you. He'll always lead you in the Word. He'll always bring back to remembrance the life of Christ. What would Jesus have done? How would He handle this? If you're standing right here, how would He have responded to that? That Holy Spirit will always bring that word back to you. God bless you. You may have a seat. I'm going to live the way He wants me to. If this is real and you purpose in your heart, then you, in your solemn pledge to Him, do not ill-treat me, my friends. Be kind. Mercy is more powerful and far greater and can never be compared with revenge. Mercy rejoices over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's why, instead of taking revenge, He forgives. Jesus, instead of taking revenge, He forgives. Because mercy is far greater. God is rich in mercy. His children is rich in mercy. You can look beyond the fall and see the need. And then use what you have to strengthen that person and draw them closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And He who forgive you 10 million talents, surely you can forgive 1,600,000. But your brother owe you. As He has forgiven you, so you also forgive. I'm going to leave. God bless you. Pray for me, I pray for you. Let's pray for one for the other. And with this great love of God that has been projected in the Caribbean there, the God's needed children, let sovereign grace come down and take over. When love goes to its limit and can't go no more, sovereign grace comes down. Charity, agape, the bond of perfection. That's the last thing He kept the life. Is this that hour? He can settle down on them sons, them daughters who is mature, who grew up into Christ. The head. That's what it is, friends. No grudges, no arms, no bitterness, none of these things. Get it out of your system. And watch this, what God will do with you. I'm going to live. Going to live The way He wants me to live,
I'm going to give. My heart, my soul, my time, my energy, my all. God bless you.
Lost. Trace of cancer in her body after the rain. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's still the same as we believe for the rain. Thank you, Lord. It seems I informed that the book signed in the heaven, signed in the earth, are available at the library for viewing. Interested person can request a personal copy at $25. Amen. Only $25. Amen. Check with the librarians to get your copy. Amen. Let us continue singing that song. The ushers will usher you on. I'm going to live the way He wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never.